All right, this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the very first Gospel, the very first book of the New Testament, Matthew. And it looks like we're going to go to the very last chapter of that book, chapter 28, and I'm going to read the last five verses of that book, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And let's see what God's word has for us. And it starts there at verse 16. And it says this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what reassuring words your Son Jesus has given us here, that he will be with us to the very end of the age. Those are very, very comforting words, Lord, and we thank you for them. We thank you for all your scripture that has the power to transform lives from the inside out. So, Father, I'm just praying here this morning that these five little verses that we read will do their transforming work in all of us. Father, I want to hide behind the cross because I want what I say to reflect the truths that you have written here. So, Father, I must decrease and you must increase. I thank you for this position you have put me in. May the meditation of my words and the things that I say here this morning be pleasing to you. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this morning, Beech Grove, we are in our final week of this four-week sermon series that I have titled Natural Theology, with a question mark after it. What is natural theology? Natural theology, or some people call it the wider mercy doctrine, is when a person believes that a person can be saved, go to heaven, restore their relationship with the Father, naturally. In other words, strictly by their own reason, their own wisdom, their own emotions, and their own resources, without ever hearing about Jesus or ever hearing the gospel message. The first week we drew a picture of an imaginary character up here. We called him George. We said that George probably lives in a jungle or on some island somewhere, and he has never heard about Jesus. Is George saved? We'll get to that. People who believe in natural theology also believe that man is inherently good and God is always fair. Well, we don't base truth on emotions. We base truth on God's word. So what did God's word say? In the first week, we said this: the Bible teaches us that man, by nature, that would be George, that would be us, is spiritually dead. He is an enemy of God, and he is therefore subject to God's wrath. That is all people, regardless of who they are, where they live. His heart cannot save him, his mind cannot save him, and his good works cannot save him. In the second week, we concluded that the Bible teaches that man must have divine revelation to hear and understand the plan of salvation that will save him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God, Romans 10:17. Paul goes on to say that blessed are the feet that bring good news. George needs to hear the good news He will never figure it out by himself. Week number three, we concluded that the Bible teaches that Jesus is the solution to man's problem. And he's the only solution to man's problem. Jesus himself says that, he says this, John 14:6, I am the way, I am the life, and I am the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way George is going to get back to the Father, the only way George is going to get saved, the only way George is going to have eternal life is if he hears about Jesus and he puts his trust and faith in Jesus. But still, with all this biblical truth we just went over the last 3 weeks, there are still those who believe that a person like George can be saved and is saved without ever hearing about Jesus or without ever hearing the gospel message. Why? Why do people buy into natural theology? Here's the best answer I can come up with. Because they trust their emotions more than they trust the Word of God. I don't trust my emotions. My emotions are corrupt. The Word of God is not corrupt. So what does the Word of God say? Well, let's continue to read what it says about this topic of natural theology, because I want to make sure that we understand what side of this issue that we are on about people like George, regardless if they live on an island or in a jungle somewhere, or if George lives in Charlottesville, Virginia. We read our scripture lesson this morning, and Jesus gives us what? It's better known as what? Who knows what this is called? It's called the Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission. It's our commission to us as disciples, as Christians, as believers. He gave it to his disciples there on the mountain before he ascended. But why would Jesus give us a Great Commission? Because if people do not hear the gospel message, they have no chance of ever being saved. So he tells his disciples to go to all nations and make disciples. And not just the Jews. Don't just stick around with your own people, the Jews. And not just Jerusalem. Don't just stick around in your own city of Jerusalem. And not just Israel. And it's not just for your own nation. And in Acts chapter 1, before his ascension, Jesus tells his disciples to be a witness of Jesus in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Make disciples of all nations. We read the best account of that in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an account of how the disciples began to fulfill this thing called the Great Commission. In Acts chapter 8, you might want to write this down. You can turn there if you like. Acts 8 verse 26 through 40. We read about, remember the story about the Ethiopian eunuch? And this guy's in a chariot. And he's sitting in a chariot. Now he started, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but it's 8, 26 through 40. And he's sitting in a chariot and he's reading a passage out of Isaiah. And the Bible tells us that he did not understand what he was reading. So what happens? Well, this disciple, this apostle named Philip, he shows up, and the Bible tells us that he explains the scriptures to him. He explains Jesus to him. He gives him the good news of salvation to him. Why would Philip want to do this? Because Philip knew this. If people do not hear the gospel message, they have no chance of ever being saved. The Ethiopian eunuch believes in Jesus Christ. He gets baptized right there on the spot, and he becomes a follower of Jesus. Would have never happened if the scriptures would never have been explained to him by Philip. The majority of the book of Acts is an account of how Peter, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul continued to fulfill this thing called the Great Commission. The Bible does tell us that in Acts that Peter was sent to Jews and Paul was sent to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, Paul writes some of the things that he had to go through in his effort to fulfill this thing called the Great Commission, to share the gospel message to others. Now, this is what he says in verses 23 through 28. This is what Paul had to go through. He says this: I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You know, after reading a passage like that, of what a person has gone through, we have to ask this question: why would one person go through all that to fulfill this thing called the Great Commission? Because the Apostle Paul knew this, that if people don't hear the gospel message, they have no chance of ever being saved. And Christians today, they need to know this and they need to understand this. And many of them do. There are many, many men and women who are willing, who get that calling from God and are willing to go into the world as something called missionaries to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In his sermon on December 31st, the year 2000, John MacArthur says this about missions, and I quote: since the church was launched till today, uncounted millions of dollars in every currency on the map of the world, and millions of hours of effort and work, and millions of Christian people through the centuries have been spent and sacrificed to take the only message of salvation to the edges of the earth. Translation work, rigorous, difficult, challenging work, of taking a language that isn't even written and developing an alphabet and developing a way to write that language and then teaching the people to read their own language when they've never, ever even seen it. And then giving them the scriptures and the gospel and leading them to Christ. Rigorous work that takes decades. And then printing materials in every language, preaching, teaching, evangelizing. That is what the church has been engaged in since its calling, since the arrival of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. An unrelenting effort to use every means possible to reach people with the only message that can save them from eternal judgment. And that's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. End quote. Missions. Missionaries. We hear about them all the time. Here's a few statistics that I'd like to share with you from a year ago, July 2014, that I got off this website called the Traveling Team Missionary Website. Statistic website. Here's some facts that I think were interesting I want to share. again, from a year ago. There are 7.2 billion, with a B, billion people on the face of this earth. Their average age is 29.7. Their average life expectancy is 68 years of age. Approximately 2 billion people claim to be Christians. Here's the fact that I want us all to understand. 1.2 billion people, again with a B, 17% of the world's population, still have never heard the gospel message. There are 6,909 languages in the world. About 4,400 of them do not have scriptures available in their own language. The annual amount given to all Christian causes combined is about $700 billion. That's wonderful. To Christian causes around the world, $700 billion. $45 billion of that is given annually to missions. There are approximately 113,200 people involved in doing missionary work in 57 countries today. China has about 10,000 new Christian converts every day. Over 2,000 years, over the past 2,000 years, since the Great Commission was given by Jesus on that day, about 70 million people have been martyred and put to death spreading the gospel message. Why do people do all this? Why do the Gideons do what they do? Why do we sit in a board meeting there every month and give money to missions, to people? Why would people want to sacrifice their lives, go to a foreign country to talk to somebody like George when they could very easily be martyred, when they could die for their faith? Why do people do all this? Because if people do not hear the gospel message, they have no chance of ever being saved. There was a movie that came out between 5 and 10 years ago that I highly recommend you watch if you have the opportunity. The name of the movie is called The End of the Spear. The End of the Spear. It's a story about a missionary couple, Jim and Elizabeth Elliott. Jim and Elizabeth Elliott, along with four other missionaries, went to start doing missionary work. They started out in 1953. And in 1956, they were part of a missionary contact with this tribe in eastern Ecuador. The tribe was called the Aka, A-U-C-A, the Aka tribe. They were people who would kill other people. They tried to become friends with the tribe. They thought they were making headway. One day, Jim Elliott, along with the other four missionary men, were all found on the shore with spears through them. Elizabeth Elliott survived, and she later spent years doing missionary work to the same tribe who killed her husband and four others. She even raised two of her children in that missionary environment. Why would a person do that? What's so important about George that would make Jim and Elizabeth Elliott and other people like them do what they do? Because if people don't hear the gospel message, they have no chance of ever being saved. For the people who buy into natural theology, well, let me just put it this way. If George can be saved without ever hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, without ever hearing the gospel message, then for mercy's sake, don't tell him. Because as soon as I tell him about Jesus, what does he have to do? He has to make a decision. And if he could be saved without him, then I'm doing him a disservice by telling him anything about Jesus. If I tell him about Jesus, he either has to believe in him or not believe in him. But if he can make it on his own, like the natural theologists say he can, why should I even go say anything to George? Because all of a sudden the good news about Jesus Christ has just become bad news if he rejects what I have to say. Plus, I can save all my financial money. Let's not send money to missions anymore. Let's not support the Gideons anymore. I can save my time, I can save my money, I can save my resources. I'll just stay right here in comfortable America where I can do all that. But that's not the case, is it? George needs to hear about Jesus. You needed to hear about Jesus. I needed to hear about Jesus. I'll end with this. In Acts chapter 10, the entire chapter, we read about a man named Cornelius. The Bible tells us that he was a Roman, he was a Gentile, that he feared God, and he prayed continually. But the Bible also tells us this. Now, let me just stop there before I continue. You would think that, A, he feared God and he prayed continually. Oh, this guy's all right, right? He's saved. But the Bible makes it very clear. Cornelius and his household was not saved until what happened? Until Peter shows up and he presents the saving gospel message of Jesus Christ to him. What does that story teach us? I believe that story teaches us two things. Actually, many different things. It teaches us this, that there are many, many people around the face of this earth who believe in quote-unquote God, who don't have a clue about salvation in Jesus Christ. But I believe it also teaches us this. It gets back to Romans 1. Remember we talked about Romans 1? People should be able to look at creation, look at nature, and understand that there is a divine creator. And that should put them on some kind of path to seek that creator. Of course, Romans 1 also goes on to tell us that they suppress the truth. But let's say for an instant that George, who's on some island somewhere or in a jungle, looks at creation and knows that there's got to be a divine creator somewhere. And George wants to know more about this divine creator. And George realizes that he's a sinner. And maybe he might not understand everything, but he knows that there's something much bigger than him out there. I believe what Acts chapter 10 tells us is this about that situation. If he wants to know more, guess who's going to show up on his doorstep? A missionary. It gets back to what Jesus said. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. And knock, and what will happen? Door will be opened. I believe if there's any people in this world, I don't care where they're at, on an island, in a jungle, or in Charlottesville, Virginia, who really want to know and understand the truth about salvation, who really want a saving relationship with someone they don't know who it is, but they know that there's something bigger than them out there that they need to understand. I honestly believe in the bottom of my heart, a missionary will come their way, be it in the form of a Jim and Elizabeth Elliot, or be it in the form of you. I still believe there are people that you and I know who have never heard the saving message of salvation. And that makes them no different than George. Natural theology. We talked about the condition of mankind. We're all dead in our sins and our trespasses. Me, you, George. And that condemns us. The wages of sin is what? Death. Condemns me, condemns you, condemns George. But there's a revelation to man. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The good news must be revealed to us. And there's a solution for man in that revelation. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he says this, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there is good news. But then there's a commission from God. We are to go and make disciples of all nations. Why? Why should we have to do that? Wasn't it just for them? No, it's for us too. So why should we do that? Because if people don't hear the gospel message, they will never have a chance to be saved. Natural theology. Can a person who has never heard about Jesus or has never heard the gospel message be saved? No, they cannot. George can't get there from here. Neither could you, neither can I. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I guarantee there's someone that you know that needs to hear what you have to say. Let's go to God in prayer.